In Drury University's oldest stone building, the 1906 Chalfont pipe organ can be heard. The stone chapel stained glass casts a pastel glow about the sanctuary, illuminating the dust throughout the room, which lands softly on the pews. Dr. Earlene Mulder sits on the organ stool, her hands and feet methodically pumping rhythm through the pipes. Mulder's done this for years. She started learning how to play on the stone chapel organ when she was 9. Now, decades later, she serves as Drury's university organist, a role she's filled since 1991. Mulder said organs are still valuable to our society and should be appreciated just as the Chalfont organ is.
People are saying organists are just a dead group now and no new organs are being built. But they're being built every day. Wonderful organs.
After graduating from Drury with undergraduate degrees in music, biology, and French, she earned her master's degree at Indiana University and eventually received her doctorate from the University of Kansas. Earlene said she knew she wanted to dedicate her life to playing the organ after an experience when she was young.
It's kind of hard to talk about. When I started playing the organ and taking lessons here, one Saturday afternoon, I was practicing, and my father had sneaked into the church to hear me. It's sort of in a dark corner, and I looked back, and a tear was coming. So, from that tear, I said, I have to do this forever. And I love the organ, it's the most wonderful thing in the world.
She said her parents were asked at her childhood church in Buffalo, Missouri, if she would play the organ for services, but her parents would not allow it without formal training. Mulder speaks fondly of her first organ instructor, Thomas Stanley Skinner, dean of the Drury Conservatory of Music from 1920 to 1950. Skinner took on Mulder as an exception, as he had never taught anyone under college level before. She returned to teach piano and organ at Drury after graduate school, before filling her formal role as university organist. Through those years to now, she has taught piano and organ to Drury students, updating the organ along the way with her husband, David Plank, who was an engineer. Mulder said their work adding stops and rinks to the organ have only added to its versatility and allowed for the playing of various styles of organ music from medieval times to hits you can hear on the radio today. Stops are handles that send air to a set of similar pipes, which can provide a certain sound. According to Drury's website, the organ is a 3-manual, 30-rank instrument with approximately 1,400 pipes. Playing the organ has taken Mulder all over the world. She has performed in Australia, Chile, England, Germany, Austria, several churches in France, Poland, and Slovakia, among many other venues. And she and Plank own an apartment in Paris, one block from the Church of Saint-Sulpice, and live there part-time.
It's taken us places we would probably never go. And we've learned so much you can't learn in a textbook. And it's just a wonderful opportunity.
Bill Garvin is the director of Drury's F.W. Olin Library and the university archivist. Garvin gave insight into the history of the 1906 organ and the chapel's past. The last step in completing the chapel, he said, was to install a furnace in December 1882, but the instructions for installation were very specific.
And unfortunately, the local contractor who installed the furnace did not follow those instructions, and when the furnace was fired up, it burned the chapel completely to the ground.
Stone Chapel took another 10 years to rebuild, and building an organ in the chapel wasn't thought of until a few years later. Garment said many might assume the organ was financed by William Chalfont because it's named after him. Chalfont was the dean of the Drury Conservatory of Music at the turn of the 20th century. But the organ was actually paid for by private donors because of the work done by Chalfont's wife.
I think people just immediately assume that it's named after William Addison Chalfont, and it is, but the person who was really the driving force behind the organ was Hattie Leach Chalfont, was Dean Chalfont's wife.
Leach spent 3 years fundraising to purchase the organ, and on January 31, 1906, Lyon and Healy of Chicago put forth a contract for the organ's construction. The contract was signed by a representative from the company and Hattie Leach Chalfont. Former Drury President J. Edward Kirby also signed, as well as William Chalfont. Garvin said President Kirby stayed with Drury for only 2 years, and noted one of the reasons given for his dismissal found in Drury's special collections.
he had not consulted with the Board of Trustees before the purchase of the organ. It was something of a little scandal on campus that the president had not consulted with the Board of Trustees.
Daniel Hancock graduated from Drury in the spring of 2004 with a Bachelor of Arts degree from the Drury Hammonds School of Architecture. While there, he trained with Mulder on the Chalfont organ. Hancock is now the president for Quimby Pipe Organs, an organ building company based in Warrensburg, Missouri. Hancock grew up in Mountain Grove, Missouri, and said, though there was a small pipe organ there, he had no one to formally teach him. His organ instruction didn't happen until he went to college. Hancock was at Drury his senior year of high school and happened to see Mulder's name on the wall outside her office. He jumped at the chance to speak with the university organist. He said he knocked on the door
and announced to her that I was coming to Drury next year and I was going to be taking organ lessons. And she just looked at me like, oh, you are? Never occurred to me that I would have to ask if she wanted to teach. As it was, she was happy to do it.
Hancock says he now oversees building organs five times bigger than the one in Stone Chapel, as well as smaller projects across the country. In 2015, Quimby Pipe Organs completed construction on an Opus 71, a five-manual, 142-rank pipe organ in Chicago's Fourth Presbyterian Church. After Hancock's experience training with Mulder and up to his knowledge now of pipe building and tonal variations, he recognizes the uniqueness of the Chalfont organ.
That organ has a very romantic voice that, being a sort of a turn of the 20th century instrument, has very colorful stops that blend together in very, in some ways, warm ensembles.
Hancock said, though Mulder was working with students from different levels of organ knowledge, she treated all students the same, sharing her expertise in the craft. Hancock said Mulder taught him there was more to music than getting good enough to be paid for it.
I think because of that reason, I never thought of myself as any less of an organist than somebody who was doing it full time. That was one thing out of many for which I'll remain grateful to her always.
On a recent weekday, Mulder's husband David sat near the organ on an aged brown pew and softly closed his eyes, listening to Erlene play as she has for many years. Peace overtakes the chapel, all that can be heard are the pipes. Mulder believes the organ, and music altogether, has an important role in today's society. She said some have questioned the relevance of the organ outside of the church, and she is quick to say that the power of music, including organ music, will never fade. For KSMU News, I'm Sarah Teague.